If you want to open your Bibles to the book of Psalm, and we'll read Psalm 122 in just a moment. Psalm 122, I invite you to be opening your Bibles there. As you're turning there, I'd like to just say a very quick welcome to all the visitors we have here this morning, really to all of our members, but if you're visiting with us, we want you to know that we are so thankful you're here. We have some visitors that are just maybe passing through town or just visiting friends and family. We have other visitors that might be looking for a congregation. I want you to know that some of you are already starting to feel like family, and we're just thankful that all of our visitors and all of our members can be here together to worship our God this morning. A few things before we get into the lesson today. If you notice in the pews in front of you, there are new visitors' cards, and that is because with our new deacons coming in place, you already see Brandon being put to work back in the sound booth, and Gwen and Tammy have put these cards in. We felt like we were missing visitors on the way in. We try to hand them cards on the way in. We don't get all of them, and so these are there for that purpose. If you're visiting with us and you didn't get a visitor's card, you can take one of those cards and fill them out. A couple things that we just want to make you all aware of. These cards are for visitors and visitors only. These are not scratch paper. They're not for your kids to doodle on during the sermon. These are there for a specific reason, and so we ask that you use those for that reason, along with the pens. If you use a pen during the sermon, that's fine. Just put it back, and we'll try to not be replacing those as often. And then also, maybe after services, if you can just watch the kids. You know, I know it might be tempting for them to start grabbing those and the pens and the papers, but those are new. We think it will be a very useful tool, but we just want to make you all aware of that. Also, I just wanted to make mention. Two things happened this morning that I think are wonderful for this congregation. One, Rick Holmes gave the Lord's Supper talk. He's one of our new members, him and the Holmes family. We're so thankful they're here. But it's good to see that all of our members have a place and being put to work here because we're a family that wants to work together to please God. And we're just thankful that Rick was willing to do that. But also, Grayson gave his first scripture reading, which that's a big deal. He was baptized a few months ago. And so if you see Grayson, tell him he did a good job. Because for a young man, that should be encouraging for all of us, for a young man to get up there or get up here to read the scriptures, to lead this worship service. And he just did a great job. So we want to make mention of that as well. Well, this afternoon is it. It's the game everyone's been waiting for, where 115 million people just in America will tune in to maybe watch Peyton Manning give his last Omahas, or maybe watch Cam Newton win his first Super Bowl. Over 160 million people all over the world are going to tune in this afternoon to watch the Denver Broncos take on the Carolina Panthers. This Sunday has kind of been termed Super Sunday because it's the day of the Super Bowl. It's where Super gets taken to the next level. This is the Sunday where it costs about $3.5 million for a 30-second commercial slot during the Super Bowl. Super Bowl Sunday is the second largest day of food consumption in the United States right after Thanksgiving. I want you to listen to how super some of these things are. Pizza deliveries double on Super Sunday. Roughly 28 million pounds of chips are consumed. That's enough to stretch 293,000 miles if laid end to end. There are 90 million chicken wings consumed just today. 8 million pounds of guacamole. That's enough to be spread over a football field and be 11.8 feet deep. All this is washed down by 325 million gallons of beer, which is enough to fill 493 Olympic swimming pools. And it's no wonder that police see a spike in drunk driving on today. You start looking at all these statistics, and it's no question as to why we call this Super Sunday. But here's my question this morning. Are food and football what makes today so super? It's interesting to me that people will look forward to this one Sunday all year. In fact, in some circles, of friends or some groups of friends, this is a holiday in and of itself. This is the day they've all been waiting for months and for weeks. People will plan parties and invite friends and plan menus and think about what they're going to do on Super Sunday. This is a special day to so many people because of the Super Bowl. But I wonder what the Lord's church would be like if we treated every Sunday like it was Super Sunday. If all week we were looking forward to attending church services and not watching a football game. Now listen, I'm excited about the football game. But if all week, instead of inviting friends and planning the party, if all week we were inviting friends and planning to go to a worship service and to make the best, to make this worship service the best that we could possibly make it. People will dress up, people will cheer, people will even skip church services on Sunday night. Listen, I grew up in a place where the game came on at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Here, it's on about, I think it's 5:30 today. I've already got my DVR set. I have a high school buddy on the Denver Broncos. Some of you are wanting to see Cam Newton because he's from your chosen school. This is a good day. But what if we treated every Sunday like we were excited to be at the Lord's church or with the Lord's church? What if we treated every Sunday as if it were Super Sunday, not because there was a big football game, not because of the food and because of the friends, but because we got together and worship God with God's people? You know, as Christians, you start looking at some of these things. As Christians, we don't look forward to just one Sunday, but we look forward to every Sunday. And I think most of us already understand that this is the Lord's Day. This is the first day of the week, the day that our Lord and Savior was raised from the dead. There's something interesting in the Gospels. You know, there are very few events in all four Gospels that all four of the writers felt like they had to mention. I got to sit in a lecture this week down at the Florida College Lectures on the Gospels and the Synoptic Gospels and how all four Gospels, they have a few similarities, but all of them are really very different in nature. But one thing that all four Gospels have in common is this idea. Matthew says in Matthew 28, verse 1, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. In the book of Mark, in chapter 16, and verse 2, it says, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. In the book of Luke, in chapter 24, in verse 1, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And again, in the book of John, in chapter 20, in verse 1, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. All four Gospels felt it was necessary not only to record the events of the Lord Jesus Christ raising from the dead, but they felt it was necessary to tell you when it happened. It was not just on a certain day of the week. It was on the first day of the week. They could have left that part out. They could have said, now the women went down, Mary Magdalene went down with the other Mary, as Matthew put it. They could have just said, some people went down to the tomb and they saw that the Lord had been risen from the dead. And that would have been remarkable in and of itself. The Lord has been risen from the dead. But all four people, all four inspired writers, thought it was necessary to say on the first day of the week. Now, when I was growing up, if my mother had to tell me something twice, we knew that she meant business. And so this should tell us something, that if all four Gospels feel it's necessary to mention the same stat, the same statistic, there's something important here. And it's not just all four Gospels, but Luke, as he wrote the book of Acts, he mentions in Acts 20 and verse 7, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now, no, this is not going to be a sermon that will last until midnight. But I want us to understand one thing. These writers felt it so necessary to tell their readers that on the first day of the week, this is when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And not just that's when he rose from the dead, but Luke felt it even necessary to tell his readers on the first day of the week when what was happening. When they came together to break bread, why were they coming together to break bread? Well, Rick just talked about Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. This is what they were doing on the first day of the week. This was their custom, their tradition, to do this on Sunday, the special day, the super day that was dedicated to the Lord. To remember His death, His burial, and His resurrection. To, as Paul was doing here, to hear a message from God's Word or a message about our risen Christ. This was the day that they did it on. Every first day of the week. Not just one of the year. But what makes this day so special above any other day? Why is Sunday supposed to be held in higher regard to Monday or Tuesday? Because if you ask me my favorite day of the week, it's Saturday. It's the one day where I just stay at home and not do nothing. That's typically our chores day. But I'm here on Sunday preaching and teaching. Monday through Friday, I'm down in my office getting ready for Sunday. Saturday is my day where I just get to spend it with Brooke and I get to spend it with the kids. We do chores. We grocery shop. We just do our thing. Saturday is my favorite day of the week. But sometimes I need to be reminded of just how special Sunday is. Sometimes I need to be reminded about what makes Sundays unlike any other day of the week. What makes it so special? What makes it so super that you and I get to be here every Sunday? We not just have to be here, but we get to be here. And why is this day so special? Let's read Psalm 122. I think there's some things in here that will tell us exactly why Sundays are so super. This is a psalm of David that is so quoted so many times, but really we only stop at verse 1. We all know verse 1. In fact, I think it's on one of our walls back there as you walk into the building in the back of the auditorium. We all know verse 1, but let's read the rest of the psalm together. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. I want to make just a few points from this psalm. We'll spend most of our time in this psalm this morning. We might go a few other places, but I want to make just a few points about what makes Sundays, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, so super. Now, I understand that they, in the Old Testament, in the time of this writing, they didn't meet on the first day of the week, but I think there are some applications that we can make about our special Lord's Day that we meet on today. The first thing that I think we get from this is this day is so special is because we get to approach God. Again, we all know verse 1, but let's read that again. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You have to remember that at the time of this writing, they had the temple. And the temple is where the Lord dwelt. The temple is where God was. And when He said, I can go into the house of the Lord, He was literally going into the presence of God. Have you ever been in the presence of someone famous? I think I've told you this story before, but I'll never forget. As a big baseball fan, especially in Southern California, I was working in the food court in the Brea Mall. And as I was putting some money in the cash register, I noticed someone's hands go down on the counter right in front of me. And on this man's finger was a big World Series championship ring. And of course, my eyes lit up because I know what a World Series ring means. And I look up, and there's Jim Edmonds. Some of you won't know Jim Edmonds, and that's okay. But some of you understand who Jim Edmonds is. He wasn't the greatest player, but he was a good player. And he was a good player that played for the Angels, although I don't like the Angels. He played for them, and I watched him growing up, and his Cardinals beat my Dodgers a lot, and that's okay. But here was someone great. He had won a World Series, and I just remember in high school, I almost couldn't speak to him. I just felt like, whoa. This is someone I watched on TV growing up. This is someone that as a young boy playing sports, I looked up to. I idolized because he was just a good player and a good person. It was just this feeling where I almost froze. I almost just felt like, how do I make words come out of my mouth, right? But have you ever been in the presence of someone just great? I'll never forget, in eighth grade, I went to Washington, D.C., and the presidential motorcade came by. I couldn't see the president. He was in his limousine, and there's tinted windows, and I couldn't see him. But just the fact to know that I'm standing on the sidewalk, and maybe 20 feet away in the street, there he is in his car driving by, I just thought that was one of the most amazing things that I have ever experienced in my life. Because that's someone that when we look at, that exudes power. That exudes authority. And it's just this feeling like you'll never get before to know that you were that close to the President of the United States. It was amazing. So you read this verse again, and can you see David and what he was feeling here? He was getting to go to the house of the Lord. Someone that's greater than Jim Edmonds or any ball player that has ever lived on this earth. Someone that's greater than any president that has ever served this country, any king that has ever served any country. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. This is God, our Father. And he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Imagine being in the presence of God. That when David was called to the house of the Lord, the priest entered that house of the Lord. They were literally in the presence of God. He was just on the other side of that veil in the temple. And yet you and I gather here together on the first day of the week. And where two or more are gathered in his name, there he will be. That we are in the presence of our Lord. This day is super because we get to approach God, and we approach him through song and through prayer. We approach him through not only the things we do here, like the Lord's Supper and reading his word and the scripture reading and hearing a lesson from his word, but we approach him with our attitude the moment we step in these doors. We approach him by how we treat each other as we sit next to each other in the pews or across the aisle. We approach him in almost everything we do. I sometimes have to wonder what my attitude is about coming to services. What my attitude is about having to sit in these pews. There's so many times where I sit back there and my focus is on what I'm going to be preaching on. My focus is on, and Tommy, you prayed about it today. I always thought this was so funny, but sometimes you need it as a preacher. Help the preacher remember what he's going to say, because sometimes I sit back there and I'm like, okay, am I ready? Do I understand? Did I study enough? Did I do this? And sometimes I sit back there and I'm just thinking, oh, okay, my mind is on what I'm about to tell you all, and it's not on the words of the psalm, or it's not on the scripture reading. And there's so many distractions that we have here when we're in the presence of God that take our mind away from these things. But sometimes I just need to sit and think about, why are we here? But it's to be in the presence of God. You and I right now are in His presence. And this is not something to be taken lightly. This is an honor to approach the Almighty King on a weekly basis. But another thing that we get to do here is we don't just get to approach our God, but we get to praise our God. Listen to what it says again in Psalm 122 in verse 4. Or let's start reading in verse 3. It says, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For the thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. He says, this is where they go. This is where the tribes of Israel go, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, so that they can give thanks to the name of the Lord. And isn't that what we do here? That this city, Jerusalem, now we're not a city, but we are God's people. That we are built in a compact way to be close together, to be a family, to be the Lord's people. And we come before the Lord to praise Him, to give thanks to His name. And we sing and we pray and we study together. Because this is our chance to give back to our God who gave us everything. It's our chance to thank Him for His blessings. And we understand, we praise God while we are here at church, but what we don't understand, or what sometimes I think we fail to understand, is the praise does not stop the moment we step out of the doors and back into the real world. We praise God through our singing and through our prayers and through things we do here, but our praise needs to continue on to our everyday lives. But Sundays are a day when we can come together and we can refocus our minds on God. I've heard so many times people say that Sundays and Wednesdays are their opportunities to kind of come during the work week or to come before the work week and to just kind of refuel their battery or recharge their battery and refuel their tanks. And this is the day that the Lord has instructed us to kind of gather together, to worship Him, to refocus our minds on God, to praise God so that we can take that in the real world and not just sit here and praise God, but we can go to work, we can go to school, and we can talk and act the way Christians are supposed to. And it's sad to me that so many Christians tend to just go through the motions of a worship service. They gather together in the Lord's presence and our praise turns something into just going through the motions. We sing because we're told to. Or I'm going to sing this song because I like the tune. And we fail to focus on the words of praise. We pray, but when we bow our heads, I'm either catching a little snooze because I stayed up late the night before, or I'm thinking about where we're going to go to lunch tomorrow or after church. We listen to the sermon, but maybe I don't like the topic that he's speaking on, so I'm going to just go ahead and read my favorite book instead. We're here to praise God, and not just praise God, but we're here to do it together. We aren't here for me, we aren't here for you, myself, and I. We are here to give our best effort to God. And we're here to be together with family. Read with me verses 6 through 8 again. He's already brought up the idea of tribes of Israel, that they are the Lord's people. But it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they may prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. His focus was on the people. And not just on the people and the brethren and companions, as he says in verse 8, but his focus was on the people having love and peace together. Where else can you go and find people from so many different backgrounds, so many different walks of life? Where else can we go where the young and old can sit together and praise the same God and sing the same songs? Where else can we go where the poor and rich leave their status symbol at the door and we're all one family together here in this building? Where else can we go to where the educated and the uneducated, those with high school degrees and those with doctorates, those that are newborn babies and those that are 99 years old, where else can we go to where we can all be together with one mind and one accord? Where else can we go when we're hurting? Where else can we go when we're rejoicing? Where else can we go when we need someone just to love us and to embrace us? And where else can we go when I want to show my love to other people? Where else can we go to teach the gospel and to learn from the gospel? Where else can we go to take care of other people and to be taken care of? Where else can we go for friendship and for family and for love and for eternal salvation? But to God and His people. David said, for peace to be within your walls. In verse 8 again, he says, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Sundays are not about me, myself, and I. Instead, Sundays, the Lord's Day, and really every day, is about honoring and praising God and being together with the Lord's people, striving for peace. I invite you to read the bulletin article this morning that talks about what our new month, our month of February, will be about. that talks about how we're not only here to serve God, we're here to serve other people. And what I see from David here when he prays for peace and he prays for love, it's that idea of what the bulletin article is about this morning. The idea of if there are problems in the church, how can we be a functioning member of God's body? How can we be a functioning church in the Lord's kingdom if the church has no peace and has no love for each other? Because when we look at what it means to gather together on a Sunday and on the Lord's Day, they're not just super because we get to approach God and praise God. They are super because we get to be with our family. And families are meant to have peace. Now, I understand this world is a difficult place and a lot of families don't have peace, but the Lord's family ought to. And David's mindset, David's attitude in verse 8, was saying, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will say, not waiting for somebody else to say it, not waiting for someone else to come and apologize, but he's saying, I will say, peace be within you. In other words, you can almost hear him saying, I'm going to be the bigger person here. And I'm going to strive for peace. Jesus would say, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I want to share with you some of these facts. I think it's time to face the facts. That we can hear a sermon like this on how wonderful Sundays are and how we get to gather together on the first day of the week. We get to remember our Lord. We get to praise Him. We get to partake of the Lord's Supper. We get to sing together. We get to be together. But as we face the facts, the majority of the people, and I'm not just saying here, I'm saying just in general, a majority of people, they view Sunday services as something they have to do instead of something that they get or want to do. That gathering together on the first day of the week has become a chore. Majority of people view it as an item on a checklist rather than a privilege of getting to approach God. And sadly, a majority of the people won't be back tonight. We understand Sundays should be the best day of the week. We understand the importance behind honoring and praising our Lord. But sometimes, if we're being honest with ourselves, Sundays are often the hardest days of the week. Because it's really easy to look out and see that everyone else gets to sleep in. It's an extra day off work. And if you're here, well, that only leaves Saturday. It's hard when everyone else is planning barbecues or going on vacations. It's hard making plans on a vacation to worship God when maybe the beach is calling or certain events or activities are calling. It's hard. It's also hard even when you're here at services. Maybe when your children are noisy or they won't sit still. It's hard when you feel like you get nothing out of the service because you're taking care of young kids. And so you ask yourself, what's the point? Why do I even do this? Why do I come here? There are times where I'll ask Brooke, you know, what did you think about that? And she'll say, didn't hear that part. She's back there alone with two kids. Well, I get a break up here. So if sometimes I preach long, it's probably, no, I'm kidding. But that's hard. But it's important. Because it's good for our young children to be in the presence of God. And what you're doing, young parents, is you're teaching your children how to praise Him. And you might leave here feeling like you've gotten nothing from this worship service, but you have done something, and that is you've taught your children to be here on the most special day of the week. And you've taught your children that above anything else, we choose to be in the presence of God, praising Him. It might be difficult when you're sick, when you're hurting, maybe when you're going through treatments for a sickness. It might be difficult to pull yourself out of bed. But you might still choose to be here, to be in the presence of God. Sundays are not meant to be taken lightly, especially when we have children who are watching. Because they need to see us take it seriously. But more importantly, it's important for every single one of us, because although it's hard, and although a majority of people in the world today don't understand the importance of the Lord's Day, the importance of being here at service and what it means, it's important because it's for God. I have a preacher friend of mine who always says, Sunday is the best day of the week. Now, I think a lot of people say it and don't mean it. They say it just because it's a nice little saying. I always admired him because he meant it. Where he would be in the back, and he was a preacher, so he would be in the back greeting people as they came in. And I would say, I worked with him during the week, and I would say that Sunday he was probably the happiest. He was probably the most excited to be at that church building on Sunday. I think, and this is again my opinion, but I think there are two kinds of Christians that we experience and we see today. There are Christians who look at Sunday as just another day. They have to go to church. It's just something that's expected of them. It has been expected from a very early age. They come once, they fulfill their duty, and they go on with the rest of their week. When they're at school or work, they don't care about what's happening at church. They don't think about the people at church. They don't think about the lesson. They don't think about their Bibles. They don't think about their brothers and sisters, except for when they see them on Sunday mornings. And then there are Christians who live for Sundays, who live for the first day of the week. The rest of the week, they are counting down to the day where they can be back with their God and back with their brethren. These are the people who want to come to services, who want to be there at every service because they enjoy serving God. These are the people who live for Christ, the people who will revolve their whole lives around the success of this church. When someone is hurting at this church, they are hurting right there along with them. When the church is doing well, then they rejoice with them as well. These are the people who will think about these each and every member that are sitting on these pews on a daily basis, who will pray for them. They don't view church as a one-day-a-week obligation, but instead this is a way of life. They make every Sunday super because they get to approach God, worship Him, pray to Him, and be with His family. Several weeks ago, I can't remember exactly when, Landon, he kind of knows that when we're getting ready, this tells you something about Brooke and I. If I'm at home, I love to just be in shorts and a t-shirt or jeans and a t-shirt. And so when I dress up, whether it's for work or he's going to school or something, he says, where are we going? Right? Where are we going? He loves to know where we're going. There were several weeks ago, I believe it was a Wednesday night. And we were dressed up, we were getting ready, and we were getting bottles together and dinner cleaned up. He says, where are we going? I said, we're going to go to Bible class. I said, is that okay with you? Yeah, I like Bible class. What if we all, before Sunday, before Wednesday, had the attitude of, I like Bible class. I like Sundays. I like gathering together. Before football games, we like serving God. Instead of groaning when the sermon goes too long, we're thankful that we get to spend a few extra minutes in God's Word because we understand that life is busy once we step out of these doors. What if we were as excited to go to church and be with God's people as excited as we were to go to an Alabama or Auburn football game? What if we put as much planning into inviting people to church as we did Super Bowl parties? What if before football fans, people knew us as fans of God? Do people know that before anything else, I am a Christian, and I would not want to be anywhere else on Sunday because that's the day I get to be with God and His people? Do people know that I like serving God and approaching God? Do people know that I like praising God? Do people know that I like being with God's people, and they should too? We understand, or maybe I say we need to understand, that honoring and praising God is a privilege, not a right. This is something that should be exciting This is something that should not be taken lightly, because at any moment this can be taken away from us. One wrong decision, one bad decision, and our life could be over as we know it. And so there, on the back of your bulletin, if you grabbed a bulletin this morning, there's three questions. And I want you to look at these three questions. And I want you just to think about these three questions in regards to not just the first day of the week, but every day of the week as we strive to serve God. And this month we strive to serve other people and as we try to raise the standard. But the first question is, what are some ways I can start taking God more seriously? What are some ways I can step outside of my comfort zone? I can step outside of my daily routine. I can step outside of the habit I have of only going to one service or just a Bible class on Sunday night or whatever it is. What are some ways I can start taking God more seriously? What are some ways to where maybe in a couple weeks or a couple months I can say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And secondly, what are some ways I can help my family take God more seriously? Fathers, this is a big one for us. I often feel like I fall short at home during the week trying to guide my family because, well, I'm here all day doing exactly what I'm doing today. And so when I go home, I just don't think of it. But what are some ways that maybe us as fathers maybe if you're in charge of your family or a grandparent or whatever it is, what are some ways that you can help your family take God more seriously? Now, these two questions, it might be simple things like maybe I can start just bringing my Bible to church. It was stated one time in a survey that over 75% of Christians don't bring their Bibles to church services. 75% don't bring their Bibles. We're going to go worship God. How can we do so effectively if we don't have His Word with us? Maybe this means talking about spiritual things at the dinner table. Maybe it means praying together before meals. Just taking those brief, maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute of going around the table and praying before meals. There's been several times we're just in the hustle of maybe getting ready to go to services on Wednesday night. We're trying to sit down. We're trying to put food on the table. And it happens other times on Wednesday night, but we're just, Brooke and I are busy. We're doing this, we're doing that. We're getting this on the table. We're trying to get a bottle. We're trying to get this, and Landon needs this, and I need this. And there's been many times we just sit down, we start eating, and it takes Landon, a three-year-old, to sit there, fold his hands, and say, "We're going to pray?" Or sometimes he'll just start praying, and Brooke and I will look at each other like, "Oh boy, we messed up on this one. He's right. We need to pray." What are some ways that we can just take just those precious few moments and start taking God more seriously? But then lastly, as we close this morning, what are some ways I can become more active in this church? What are some ways that I can view my role in this church as something that is greater than just someone who comes and sits on the pew? There are lessons that we can spend hours on going over how every person is important. And I feel like sometimes those kinds of lessons are drilled down people's throats to say, you're important, the weak members are important, so are the strong ones, so everyone get busy. And the same thing happens. The same people are still doing the same things. I just want us to take these questions and just focus internally. Focus on ourselves. So that when we look at what it means to come together on a Sunday, this isn't just one Sunday of the week, this is a weekly occurrence, to say, what can I do to take God more seriously? But not only that, what can I do to become more active in this church? Because when this church is moving forward, that means we're growing closer together and closer to God. As I said, I look forward to Super Bowl Sunday. It's one of my favorite, can we call it a holiday? I don't know. It's one of my favorite days. I love the food behind it. Brooke grew up with a sister, and she was telling me last night, she goes, I had never really done the Super Bowl till I married you. She goes, but now I love it because the food's good. And I mean, I look forward to the game today. Again, I said, I have a buddy that I played football with in high school on one of the teams. So I'm just excited. I've been looking forward to it. And there's a lot of things we look forward to in life. You look forward to vacations. You look forward to graduation. You look forward to birthdays. You look forward to anniversaries. You look forward to so many different wonderful things that we enjoy in this life. And there's nothing wrong with those things and looking forward to those. But the moment we have let the worldly things that we experience here get in the way of looking forward to not only being together here on Sunday, getting to worship our God, getting to be together with His people, but if it gets in the way of looking forward to heaven, then we might have a major problem. Peter said to live as Christ and to die as gain. While he was here, it was about serving God. And if he were to die, it was about being with God. Sometimes I need to take a step back and realize that that should be my attitude as well, because it's not 99% of the time. And so let's, as we start this month of February, our goal has changed. Our objective has changed. All last month we looked at serving God. And as we transition now, we're looking at serving His people. On being there for His people, because that's one way we serve God. And one way we do that is by being here together as a family, by singing our praises to Him. Another way you could serve God is by giving your life to Him, by being buried in the waters of baptism. There's no other way to reach salvation than through Jesus Christ. And He tells us that if we need to do so, we need to wash away the old man, that is the man of sin, and we need to rise up in newness of life. And we do that by dying with Him and being risen up a new person. And if you need to do that, don't wait a moment longer. Start today. Start your life today. Make your life super today, because eternity is just around the corner. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.